Welcome to the HR Business Blueprint Podcast. I'm Nikki Masterman, founder and CEO of Inspired HR. In this series, alongside my fabulous guests, we will be chatting about becoming a consultant and building a HR business. Today, I'm joined by Paul Edwards, who is the director and founder of Edwards Commercial Cleaning Services and Edwards Commercial Cleaning North. They are one of my biggest and favourite clients.
Oh.
I know. So Paul is one of my favourite people. And as you will hear in a moment, he has the most beautiful voice for podcasts and radio. You could just listen to him all day. He's a seasoned podcaster, but I'm really looking forward to our conversation. So welcome, Paul.
Thank you. And is that an extra 20 quid I owe you now?
Yeah, yeah. I'll add it on your next invoice.
That's fine. It's fine.
Paul, I'm really excited to have our conversation today. And as you know, we love talk and we love getting together at our business and client events. And we met originally when we went, I've been working with you now for around 18 months. And we actually originally met at the Jess Williams Sales Academy.
We did. You bullied me at lunch, didn't you?
I did. I talked your ears off, didn't I?
You did.
I know. You met me. I was this whirlwind. But we had a great day and I certainly made an impression on you that day.
You certainly did. We certainly did. It was just at the right time as well, wasn't it? Timing was just perfect.
It was. I mean, it was a great event. For anyone that has never been to Jess Williams Sales Academy, I highly recommend it. We had a great day, learned quite a lot that day. And of course, we met each other and it led to us working with you, which has been 18 months now on what will be a very long journey.
Time flies.
It certainly does when you're having fun. So tell me about your business, Paul. How did you find your business? Because, I mean, you have a phenomenal business, you know, a huge business. I mean, people think of it as a small business, but actually it's not. How long have you been in the industry and where did it come from?
I was in franchising. So I was selling franchise contract cleaning for a company called Janny King, which is massive. They were doing £1 billion back in 1990. So I mean, it's huge. And I was the divisional manager. So I looked after the north of England and Scotland for them, selling franchises. But it wasn't very good. The franchisees were not treated well. It was poor. So we decided after a very painful meeting down in London that we'd set up on our own. And that's what we decided to do. And that was back in 1998 now.
Wow.
So I went into partnership with a guy from the company Janny King. And we were in partnership for 5 years. And then we decided to split the business up. He took the original company name. We rebranded Edwards Commercial Cleaning Services. And at that point, my wife Hazel came into the business too. So that was 2003. So 22 years now.
Wow. And I mean, I will hit 8 years in business at the end of March.
Takes some doing. It's brilliant.
It does. But to build the business you have built in 22 years is just phenomenal. I mean, we're talking 400 staff, 200 clients.
Yeah.
That is some business. Yeah, I'm in complete awe of what you've built. I really am. You know, to where you've started to where you are now is just anyone can aspire to have that. And of course, we're both members of the Entrepreneur Forum.
We are.
As well. So it was interesting that even though we met at the Sales Academy conference, we're actually both members of the Entrepreneur Forum, which we see each other all the time and we always have a great meeting. And it's a family business, isn't it?
Yeah,
you've got family in the business.
Yeah. So Hazel joined us in 2003 and then Johnny really started to get involved with us from when he was about 15 at school. So he used to help Hazel with the payroll runs and the invoicing runs and do the administration stuff with Hayes, just to take the pressure off, really. Mm-hmm. And all the way through, really, he was in the banking and then just getting involved. So we then said to Johnny, go and do a business degree. If you want to be in the business and you want to take it on and you want to get on with this. And he did. So he went to Newcastle College and got a 2-1 business degree.
Wow.
In the meantime, he was still working in the business, you know, with helping Hazel and stuff like that. So he got his business degree, then came back in. And then really he's been in operations since. So for the past, 5 or 6 years, he's been in operations, helping the operations and reporting to our general manager. So learning the business, that's the only way to do it, really, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, I love Johnny. He is great. And he's had a recent promotion.
He has. He's now a director. So we made him a director about a month ago. So it's about time.
Oh, so well deserved. I mean, every time I speak to him, he's just so loyal, so hardworking. He's always on the go. He never stops. Absolutely very, very well deserved for him. There's certainly no nepotism anywhere there.
No.
It's all about, I see the work he has put in and really deserves that, you know, so good on him. When I first met you, I heard the most interesting story about what you went through with one of your house purchases.
Oh, it's truth.
So tell us a little bit about what happened with this house that you purchased, because I'm really interested to know what lessons did that give you that you now use in life and business?
So that was 4 years of misery. So we lived in Jesmond for 17 years in a semi-detached house with virtually no garden. It was tiny, really small. Michael, my eldest, had moved to uni and started work in Leeds. Sally'd gone to uni and she was, you know, she was getting involved in midwifery. So we had Johnny at home. So Hazel said, right, I want to move. I want a garden. So I said, go and find one. So she found one in Fenham. And we moved to Fenham, having done all of the checks and the surveys and all the rest of it, only to find out that the house had a history of flooding. And I mean, the back garden would literally turn into a lake and the cellars turned into virtually an indoor swimming pool. It was that bad and it stank. It was awful. Oh. It was terrible. So we went back to find out, you know, on the property information forms, you know, had a look at those and where it actually says on there, you know, has the house ever or the gardens ever flooded? They tick no. So, you know, there was no sign of anything really. So we got in touch with them and said, look, there's a problem here. And they told us to sod off, as people do, which just made me mad, really. So from there, we sort of kicked off a lot of legal stuff. Ended up in the High Court, which is an experience. Paid many, many tens of thousands of pounds in legals, you know, many, many. Mm-hmm. And eventually, the newspapers picked it up because it went to the High Court. The High Court reporters got it. So it was in the Sun and the Telegraph, and it was in the Sunday Mail. And these were pages in the Sunday Mail. So we had reporters virtually camped outside of our house and knocking on the door asking for comments and stuff, and all this kicked off. But what that did is it really pushed them into a position where, because they were professionals, medical professionals, mm-hmm. they had to buy the house back, and they did. So then it continued after that because of all the costs, because there was all of the stamp duties and the removal costs and the building costs and the decoration costs and all sorts. We wanted it all back.
Yeah.
So that took another year or so on top of that. And eventually went to mediation, which I know is your highlight. and we got what we wanted. So, but it took 4 years. That was a miserable time, miserable time. But luckily, people stood up, which was really good. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's a guy called Kevin Beatty who's at the Freeman of the City and he looks after the town law. Mm-hmm. And he knew this place had flooded for 20 years. And he actually put an affidavit together with our solicitors to actually put to the High Court, which really put them in a difficult position because there was somebody who was independent saying, you're wrong. mm-hmm. You knew this place flooded. And then, of course, I think it was Sally, my daughter, had gone onto their Facebook site and found a photograph of their Facebook of the house in flood with the garden in like a lake. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're trying to deny that this was happening and things. And then the neighbours got in and they put letters in and all sorts. So anyway, we got it sorted out after 4 years and a mediation, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. So we got what we wanted and we got a house move. So we're now in a different place with a huge garden, which was a project which Hazel wanted. And now she's made something absolutely fantastic with a huge pond right in the middle of it, which is a bit of a surprise because I thought she'd had enough of water, but obviously not.
You'd think, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And from that experience, what lessons has that given you in life and business?
Not to give up. Very easy to roll over. Knowing the expense and the costs, and of course you've got solicitors, you've got lawyers coming on to you all the time saying, you do realise if you do this, it's going to do that, and it's going to send you down this route, and it's going to cost you a lot more money. Mm-hmm. And are you prepared to? And this was like all the time. And, you know, you've just got to look at it and go, I'm sorry, but we've just got to do this. And you've just got to keep going. Hazel got stressed to hell. I mean, I just got madder. And I just was more and more determined that this was not going to go away. And actually, I got really excited about the idea of going to High Court. I really,
you're probably one of very few people.
Do you know? I did. I thought, you know, sitting in this place, I hope the guy wears a wig. You know, I'm going.
And did he?
Well, we never got there because we got the mediation.
Oh, of course,
so what
yes.
happened was, yeah, we got the notification from the High Court with the date for like a preliminary meeting, mm-hmm. and that was to set dates and work out how many days it was going to be and all that sort of stuff. And when that happened, their solicitor basically suggested mediation at that point, and it happened on the 4th of December. Started at 10 o'clock, and by 12 it was done.
Wow. Mm. And did that just give you a peace and enable you to move on again and start planning again?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, once we were done. The house move was great, but it was everything else. I couldn't really put it to bed until we had the mediation or we'd been to High Court and won, because mm-hmm. I knew we were going to win if we went to High Court anyway. Yeah. But they were talking about another £250,000 to go to High Court because they were talking 4 days. Barristers were like, I'm at 10 grand a day and all this sort of stuff. And it was scary. But it's what we had to do.
It's what you had to do. And it is about fighting for your rights. You knew you were right. Yeah. And it was about fighting to that.
Yeah.
And did that give you any lessons in business? Is there anything you took from that?
Similar, really. You've got to do the right thing and you've got to stand by your values and your principles. And if you know that they're right, stand them up. Just don't back down. Don't give up. You know, mm-hmm. do what's right. Sometimes it's bloody well painful and it cost a lot of money. We didn't get all the money back that we paid. You know, I reckon at the end of the day, it probably cost us maybe 30,000. Mm-hmm. But on the scale of things,
I can't imagine what the big cost was.
Yeah. I mean, it's in the papers. I mean, if anybody sort of Googled it, they'd see all these reviews and things like that. I mean, the house itself was, I think, it was 752,000 on its own, and then all the costs on top of that. Mm. So this thing was a lot of money. It was you're talking serious dosh here.
But you fought for your rights, which was,
of course you did,
and it came round. And I can imagine that Christmas took a bit of weight off your shoulders to enjoy that Christmas as well.
Yes, it was, because this thing was done on the 4th of December, and one of the things on the settlement was we would settle for the final amount as long as we got the payment by, I think it was the new year, and they paid it on about the 15th of December. So the money was in the bank on the 15th, which made Christmas a really good one.
Brilliant. That was a good Christmas then.
Yeah.
I had a shop for England with the shoes and handbags on that one. Paul, you've touched upon values and work and life and things like that. Tell me what's really important to you when it comes to values, not just in business, but values in life and with family. What are the values that are really important for you?
Honesty and integrity are right up there. So are things like trust, yeah? But I mean, there's lots of values that we've got as a business and we actually live them. Mm-hmm. You have to live your values and, you know, trust, respectfulness, fairness, reliability, teamwork, communication, things like that, really, really up there. But at the end of the day, if you sort of push them all into one bowl, what it really means is doing the right thing. You've just got to do the right thing, no matter what it is. And who it's for and who it's to, you've just got to continue and do the right thing. So you've got to make sure that, certainly, I live my own values. You have to do that. I can't go to bed at night and I'll look in the mirror and have a shave without going, I think I'm doing the right thing. But also the people who are working with us in the business have also got to live the same values. So recruit based on these values. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't teach things like character and things like that. They bring that. But they do have to fit in with our values as a business and as people and the rest of the team, obviously. So that's crucial to us. But at the end of the day, doing the right thing is the be all and end all for us.
Yeah. And I see that. And you know that values in life and business are very, very special for me. I mean, you know our values. Our family is our first and most important value.
And so it should be.
For us, we then have real relationships, which we have. Integrity, the same as you. Business ethics and integrity for me are really, really important. Enthusiasm, you know I love what I do. We're no nonsense. We are dedicated to what we do and we keep HR simple. And as you know, our values spell friends. And it was Mark in my team that came up with that and realised that everything that was important to my values were actually brought together by a mixture of feedback from our clients of how would you describe us, and doing a strategy day with my team of when you think about the business and the team in it, what words come to mind. And when we picked the words that were really important to us, it was Mark that went, do you realise that if you just move a couple of them around, it spells friends? And I was like, ah. So Do you feel that was something that when you first started talking about working to us, that was what aligned for you? Because clearly values and the people are very, very important to you.
Yes, it's all about alignment. And what we've got with all of our suppliers really is exactly the same thing. We've got rid of suppliers who haven't had it, and we've got rid of customers who haven't had it. And they really do have to align with what we're doing and how we are with people and the way we treat people, mm-hmm. and kindness and family and things are right up there. You've got to deal with nice people, haven't you?
You have. I totally agree. And I've reached a point in business now where, you know, I'm not at the beginning of my business journey anymore. And when you do first go into business, you take the work that's needed because you have bills to pay. But then you do reach a point in business where you choose who you work with. So I always do a discovery meeting with anyone that is looking to work with us, because that for me is not just finding out about them and their business, it's also getting a feel for whether our values align. Because yes, we're no nonsense and we do HR, but I will choose not to work with someone if I don't feel they will purposely not treat their people well. And I have terminated a couple of clients historically because the way they've spoken about their employees that just do not align my values. It doesn't matter what challenges you have between parties, you don't talk about somebody in the manner these employees have spoken about. And that for me was, I get you have challenges, but you just don't talk about people in that way. In one particular one that stood out, it was a client that had come to us and asked us to exit somebody. And they were very, very scathing about how this person had lost their dad and she just needed to sort her head out and get back into work and get over it. And, you know, how stress and anxiety and depression wasn't a thing. And this girl had lost her dad. And I was like, OK, I'll go meet with her. I've listened to what you've got to say. And I mean, at that point in time, I actually had a solicitor that sat in my office. I had my own employment solicitor. And she just raised an eyebrow at what she was hearing and just looked at me, and she knew what we were both thinking. So I was like, okay, I'll go meet with this person, because actually I also believe that if you want somebody to move on, you do it well in a way that's right for both parties. And I met with this individual, and this person sat and sobbed about the loss of a dad. Now, I'd gone through that. I lost my dad at 19. I know I've never got over it. You learn to handle it, but you never get over it. And I sat and listened to this girl sob, and I kind of thought, I need to help you move on. I need to help you move on well to an employer that absolutely values you and understands that it's okay to struggle after the loss of a parent. So I did. I helped her move on well, and she did move on well, and she was very grateful for that. The client saw it as, I think he said, oh, you helped me get rid of a dickhead.
Wow.
And I actually at that point gave him some very honest and frank feedback. And he then started to talk to me about, oh, you know, I really like what you did, and, you know, we could really do with you. And I actually stopped him and said, I've helped this person move on and I've done what you have needed, but I'm not prepared to move with you moving forward. And I actually declined to do any further business with him because he didn't align to my values and the way he treated people. So like you, values and integrity are really important to me.
It's all about partnerships, isn't it?
It is. And that's something that always sticks out to me. And I know that young lady moved on well. And I hope to this day she's doing well.
Good on you.
So you chose to work with us. Now, what's interesting is, as a business, we normally offer clients 12-month rolling contracts. We don't normally go big, long contracts. We're not one of these big national companies that's going to tie you into something that you don't need. You know, ours is, if a client wants to take 2 years initially, we then roll it into 12 months rolling. But we certainly don't believe in putting the fear into God into them and getting great big signed contracts on them. But interestingly, I remember when we met and we talked about the contract, you actually said to me, I'm looking at this as a long-term plan, really like what I see. Could we actually sign a 5-year contract? Because I think you would make a bigger difference by having you on board for the 5 years. So there must have been a reason that prompted you to go, I'm looking for a bit of stability, let's do a 5-year contract. What prompted that for you?
We were in a pub.
Were we? I think we were, actually. We were in a pub, weren't we?
No, I mean, to be honest with you, the 5-year contract aligned with our business plan, which I'll mention in a moment. But I think more important than that, it's about commitment. I think if we commit to you, and I knew you were a fairly newish business, and you were getting into it and growing it on the commercial side, which was brilliant. I just thought, if we commit to you, you'll commit to us in the same way, and maybe we'll get a little bit of preferential treatment because you never know, which we do, and we do, absolutely do, of course we do. And I just thought it's about commitment. So, you know, you can do more with your business plan and your P&Ls and all the rest of it, knowing that you've got a chunk of money coming every month for the next 5 years. You know, 60 months is quite a way to go. And we just thought, you know, if we can commit to you, you commit to us, happy days. It fills what we need for now, and it hopefully fills what you need as well.
And it did. I mean, it. You know, I'm not going to say how much it is, but it's not a small contract. And I know that regular money comes in every month, and I can't fault you. You pay on time. We never need to chase. And, you know, you're a wonderful client, I have to say. But you're also an unusual model because in an organisation of your size, you would normally have an internal HR team. And us as a business either support businesses that are too small to have an internal HR team, or we support organisations that do have an internal team, but they may not have the variable levels of experience or knowledge that we've had, or they can't deliver all of the services and work that we deliver. So we will often support HR professionals as their go-to contact, because they might not have a head of or a senior HR or a director of HR they can go to, and they're growing and learning. And so they learn from us as well. So from an organisational point of view, your business is normally what I would call the size of, and we would often recommend you have an internal HR team. And we work with them. But interestingly, you chose not to go that route. You do have internal people that do little bits and do on the ground work. But you chose not to go with internal HR instead of work with us, because we have everything from admin to HR director level. Instead, you come to us for all of those different levels, including training. I know we deliver great training to your management. What made you decide to go with that model? Because it is very unusual for a business your size.
It is. Two reasons, really. One is cost. If we're looking to get somebody in who's going to be looking after nearly 400 staff based from northeastern Yorkshire, with the experience that we need for covering the likes of Tupi and everything else, it's going to be expensive. That's one thing. The other thing, of course, is we've dealt with it for years ourselves. So for about the first 10 years, pretty much, we dealt with this ourselves. So we did all of our own disciplinaries and grievances and contractual stuff, which is, whether it be right or wrong, I understand it's wrong, but which has now been put right, folks, by the way. We did a lot of it ourselves, and I did most of the stuff myself. But the problem with that is I get dragged into HR and it's very time consuming. That was one reason that we were looking to do something, which was why when we met you at Jess Williams Do, it was great timing. The other thing is succession planning. So Johnny's coming through into the business. We knew he was coming through into the business. We knew he'd need time. Rather than go and start to build a team around Johnny at that stage and put HR in and then maybe put different roles in, we thought if we just hold off, give him time to come in and settle down, choose where he wants to be within the business, because we weren't sure if it was going to be more operations or more sales or more admin. Probably not admin, because he's like me, he hates it. But we didn't know where Johnny was going to sit. So we thought if we could just play for time and put something in which was going to help us out with the more time-consuming or the more specialist parts of HR, we can handle the day-to-day stuff, because we always have, and we just can do that. And the team that I've got are excellent, and they will handle stuff like that. But for the juicy stuff, it was great to be able to come out to somebody like you guys. So we thought from when we met you sort of 18 months ago, which is when Johnny was really starting to become more on the business than in the business, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was good timing, because we looked ahead and we were thinking this is probably going to take 5 years. Roundabout 5 years to settle him down. I mean, yes, ideally we'd have somebody in-house, but it wasn't the right time then. It may be the right time in 3 or 4 years' time to bring somebody in and put them into that position then. But in the meantime, you guys are doing a great job. Thanks very much, Nikki.
Ah, thank you. That's lovely.
Yeah.
And Johnny's great. And as you know, my business is a family business. I work with Mark, who was my first employee. Mark has been with me now since 2019. So, gosh, it's 5-6 years now. And for those who don't realise, Mark is my big brother. He was my first employee. And I love my big brother to bits. Now, people think it's easy for people working with family and business to get preferential treatment. I actually disagree. I think family actually get a tougher time because you have to be able to show the rest of your team they're not going to get preferential treatment.
I agree.
What's it like for you working with family in your business?
Tricky. It's good that we've all got our own roles. Although the roles do sort of merge a little bit from time to time, it's good that we actually do that. So Hazel looks after the administration side of things. So she supports the Steph and Sarah in the office who are doing payrolls and all the administration stuff and the invoicing runs and all that gear, which is smashing. So Hazel looks after that. I tend to support my general manager on the operations side, as does Hazel, but I tend to support her and obviously look after the guys on the sales side too. So we have got sort of distinct roles. Now, Johnny's just literally moved in the past few weeks, really, into sales, into more of a sales role, just to learn it, mm-hmm. because he's got to understand a bit about marketing and sales. So he's doing that now. He's been in operations for years, 6 years or so, since he came out of his college courses. So he's now moved into sales. So you've got Hazel sort of administration, Johnny's moved into sales, and I'm supporting sales and operations. So it's quite good that the roles are sort of distinct. Mm-hmm. Works that way. But it can be tricky. It can be tricky. And obviously there are overlaps because Hazel working on the administration and on the finance side, she's getting involved with sales pricing and P&Ls and stuff like that, which is obviously everybody sort of blurs into the same sort of thing. So she's doing that, and it works pretty well most of the time.
And it does bring its challenges. I mean, my husband, people often say you're not going to bring your husband into the business. To be honest, my husband's complete opposite personality to me. I'm a 1,000-mile-an-hour person. He's very manana, you know, very chilled, laid back. But we're our yin to our yang, as I refer to me and him. I don't talk about work to him because he gets bored. He doesn't talk to me about work because I get bored. He's what I refer to as a lab geek. He's a lab manager. He's worked for the same company since he's left university. Very intelligent from a scientific point of view, and very much about people, relationships, behaviours. So we're both very different focuses. He gets bored when I talk people. I get bored when he talks reaction times on concrete. We would end up killing each other if we come into the business. So you never know. He might do one day, but certainly no time soon. And when me and Mark get together, because I am very close, for people who know me, I've lost my parents, Mark, we work together. He does get a little bit sticky. He works in a business full of alpha females, because we all are very much very strong willed alpha females in the business. He's the only man, and he's the older generation. So he does get a little bit stick for his techie knowledge, but he's getting better. But when we're at home, we sometimes have to remember not to talk about work, because we do talk about it and people around us are like, oh God, stop now. But we do have our regular poker nights. He does come round and we'll pick, it's a pound a game, so people don't need to worry we're spending hundreds of pounds and gambling big style at home. But we do enjoy a good game of poker together at home. But I do enjoy working with him. He's my rock. I do talk to him about things, and I have another brother who's very entrepreneurial. He runs multiple very successful businesses over in Marbella and has done for 20 years. He's always been very, very entrepreneurial. Walked out of school at 15, set his own business up straight away. He's never looked back. Very successful. So I do bounce things off him as well. Now, going back to you, Paul, and hobbies, and I am going to bring this up. I've visited your home. And you're right, Hazel has built the most beautiful garden and the pond, and it's fabulous. You have the two most beautiful dogs that are nearly as big as me. But you're a beekeeper and you have beehives in your garden. Tell me where that came from.
I do. I wanted them in Fenham, but obviously it was a bit wet to have them in Fenham. a bit wet for beehives. I always wanted them. It's just one of those things. And I suppose I had to create time to be able to do it. So I had to build a team, and I had to be able to get myself away from work whenever I needed to get away from work. And it's just, again, it's just a good thing to do. I mean, the neighbours around us, by the way, they've been there for years. I mean, the little lady too, who's just lost her husband, bless her. She said that in the last few years since we've had bees, her fruit trees have never been so good, because the pollination is just amazing now. Mm-hmm. And, the neighbours mentioned, the flowers have never looked so good and things like that. And it's marvellous. We've got at the moment, I think we've got about 7 hives. Each one of those hives in the summer will probably have 60,000 bees in each of them.
Wow.
So you're talking a lot of bees, and they're all going in and out and pollinating like mad. So it's good. So we do it because it's a good thing to do. It's a hobby of mine. and the honey's pretty decent too.
I know, because we do get gifted, and I know Nicola Chalmers in my team, if we get honey from you, she's any for me, because she loves her honey, and my son loves his honey as well. And my son's not a great eater, you know, he's very fussy. It's one of his neurodiverse traits. He's what I refer to as a beige eater, but he does love his honey in bread, so he does enjoy that. So
we'll have some more next year for you.
Fabulous. I look forward to it. Yeah. So I've had a great conversation with you, Paul. And when it comes to advice in business, you are absolutely a go-to person. You've been there, you've done it, you've built an incredible business, you work with family, you've had experiences that have helped evolve you in life and in business. You know how to balance your life and your work. You've got hobbies, and I know spending time at home is really important to you, and being able to switch off. If there was any advice you would give, so as you know, we've gone into a franchise style model last year, and this podcast is aimed at helping other HR and professionals that have gone into consultancy and learning through what I experience with my clients and my partners, and also sharing any hints and tips on the importance of what's very important to us, but also the people that I surround myself with. If there was any hints, tips, or recommendations or advice you would give anybody going into business or on their journey, what would it be?
How long you got? The main thing is, this is about people, okay? People are everything. So the important thing is, you have to build a great team. You've got to go out and find the right people who match your values, understand your work ethic and all that sort of stuff, and just... I think you said yin and yang before. That's exactly what it is. I'm rubbish at paperwork. Hazel does the paperwork. Hazel loves the paperwork. She was in the ministry for 17 years, 18 years, doing paperwork. So she's very good at it. I wasn't very good at HR. Here you are. Thank you very much. Yeah. You've got to have a good solicitor. You've got to have a good HR. We've got a good health and safety person, a specialist external. So you've got to build them internal and external teams. You've got to know the right people. So you've got to be a people person, really. So if you go out and you talk to people and you meet people and you put yourself out there a little bit, as we do, because we're always bumping into each other, which is absolutely marvellous, it's amazing who you bump into, and it's amazing what you can get from it. So, you know, I've got a business coach. I've had a business coach for many years now, probably about eight or nine years now. I had Tony, who was my business coach up until he retired a couple of years ago, and he was a go-to. So, you know, I'd go to him and say, I'm thinking about, I'm doing about, and he'd introduce me to people. In the same way you did, you introduced us to Harriet.
Yes.
So we've now got Harriet doing our marketing as well, because we've got the same marketing person.
We have.
And again, it's just building the right teams who get it, you know. So my advice would be, build good teams, both internal and external, because you need the support as well. So, you know, at the moment, we're going for funding for the first time in 22 years because of what the government's gone and done as far as national insurance and minimum wage and all this sort of stuff. So for the first time in 22 years, gone for funding. Now, luckily, Mel, who's our business coach now, our family business coach, so she coaches Hazel and Johnny too, she knows people, which is marvellous, because she's done it before in her businesses before she exited her business. Mm-hmm. So we got introduced to people, and now we're talking to the right people and put together presentations and going for funding. So, you know, it's just getting to know the right people, putting yourself out there and building great teams. That's pretty much what you've got to do.
Brilliant. So what I've heard today, Paul, is how it's all about the people, the values, aligning, building great teams, internal, externally, and I'm with you on all of that. And I'm really pleased to know that my lessons in business are very similar to yours and the values. I look forward to many years ahead of working with you. I could be digging a hole on this one, but let's see. I'm going to ask anyway. If you ever met someone that needed HR, what would you say about me and my team? Would you recommend us?
How much are you going to give me for this one?
Another 20 quid.
Okay, that's fine. That'll do me nicely. I would say that HR is a never-ending evolving mess for a business person like me. The laws change. Things change. We've just had excellent training on harassment, investigations and discipline for the team, for my management team. So I think there's about 10, 11, 12 people on that one, just learning about different things because it changes all the time. Mm-hmm. I can't teach it. I don't know it, you know, and things are changing all the time. The other thing as well is it's so time-consuming. I've got better things to do than sit in grievance meetings or take a disciplinary or something along those lines. It's wonderful to be able to pick a phone up or to bash an email out just saying, we've got an issue, please pick this up for us. And know for a fact that you're going to do it in the right way, sensitively, with kindness, but get a damn job done. Mm-hmm. And it's just great to be able to know that's going to happen in the background. So I would say that if you are needing HR, or if it's getting too much for you, or you can't afford to have your own HR on board because they are blooming expensive people mm-hmm. to have. You guys cost a lot of money, you know. I would say if you're going to outsource it, Nikki's your bod.
Oh, thank you. And I did really enjoy that training with your team recently. We really have some good conversations. Paul, thank you for coming on today. I really enjoyed our conversation, as I always do. If people want to find out more about Edwards Commercial Cleaning, where do they go? What's your website? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Website's www.edwardscleaningltd.com, and I'm on LinkedIn. Paul Edwards, you'll find me on LinkedIn under Edwards Commercial Cleaning Services. That's same place as you are, aren't you, Nikki?
I am. I'm always on there. Actually, did you see my grandson on there this week?
I saw Grayson picking up his little leggies and going for a walk, which is absolutely fantastic.
He is. He's everywhere now. So it's been a very wonderful week
Incredible.
For me this week.
Incredible. Well done, you.
And goes back to my family value. Family is very, very important. Thank you for being my guest today, Paul. Thanks for listening to the HR Business Blueprint podcast. For any information on what we've covered in this episode, head over to the show notes. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Thanks for listening.